You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hello, everybody. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen.
Wow, good thing we're actual voice actors in real animated series, and it shows right now.
Oh, my God. It's so funny because we have like voice actors come in for Hamster and Gretel all the time. And there's this guy called D. Bradley Baker, and he specifically focuses on monster noises. And
yes.
He'll come in and be like, so does this monster have like a nose, or does he have a nasal cavity? If he doesn't, maybe he goes, how about
yeah,
that? Does
he's
that sound
insane.
Good? I'm like, oh my God.
D. Bradley is insane. And his booth looks like a spaceship.
Oh my God, it does. You're right. His booth does. He's the voice of Chewbacca, right?
He does everything. D. Bradley.
He does everything.
I mean, what does he not voice? He voices Perry the Platypus, Daffy Duck, fucking Captain Rex. He does like all these characters. I mean, he's one of the biggest voice actors in history.
Oh my God. It's so talented. I just think it's so funny that someone's job is, yes, I do voices, but my specialty is monsters.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, it is spooky season, baby. Jenny's favorite season. The month where Jenny comes alive, because everything around us is death.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I go pretty hard, yo. And I one of my favorite things about LA is that they actually embrace all things spooky, all things goth, all things Halloween. And it really wasn't until I moved out here that I realized Latinos love spooky shit. Latinos, I think there's like statistics somewhere that we like, what is it, over-index in like horror. Mm-hmm. And zombie films. And yeah, because every time I go to like a horror specific convention here, because by the way, these happen all year round. They're not just in October. It's a lot of Latinos. A lot of Latinos. And I went to Horror Nights twice this year.
What's a horror night?
Horror Nights at Universal Studios.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And so they have all these different houses, you know, themed like Chucky and Stranger Things and Last of Us. I went into every house, and the scariest one was the Latino folklore one.
Oh my God, of course. Of course it is. Absolutely terrifying.
Because they don't give a fuck. Like they pretty much every room had like floating intestines. It was who did they have in that house? They had Lechuza. Mm-hmm. They had El Silbón, which,
oh my God,
is
the scary
Venezuelan. Uh-huh.
I mean, La Llorona has to be there.
Yeah, La Llorona's there, but I don't think she's in that house. So they have La Llorona walking around, looking all creepy. There's like a specific like Dia de los Muertos section in Universal Studios right now, and it's fucking super cool. But the scariest house was called Monstruos, the Monsters of Latin America. And then, yeah, they had La Lechuza, El Silbón, and the other character that was in that house, I cannot pronounce to save my life.
Let me see. Oh, Chawelpuchi? That's probably completely wrong. Chawelpuchi. That's not it. I am wrong.
Fuck.
Don't know how to say it. T-L-A-H-U-E-L-P-U-C-H-I. I don't know how to... I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm afraid that if you pronounce it wrong, she shows up and kills you, or he shows up and kills you. So I'm not going to do it again.
Okay. Well, dude, it was still like, it was one of the scariest houses. So I'm like, Latinos are a bunch of creepy, fucking spooky motherfuckers.
I mean, like, all of our, we were told scary stories as a way to make us behave. Of course we're gonna have the scariest house. We grew up being told that someone was gonna fucking kill us if we didn't, like, put on socks. Like, that's not normal. Do you know what I mean? Like, normal, like, not normal, but like American, my vanilla American friends are like, if you don't put on your socks, you're gonna get grounded. And in my house it was like, if you don't put on your socks, a monster's gonna come and it's gonna eat you. You know what I mean? Like, okay,
right.
Well,
it's like freaking horrifying, yo. They didn't give a fuck. We were joking though when we were in line, and we were like, like, a real Latino horror house would just be like angry relatives, like like the chancleta and shit, like just pissed off that you didn't clean your room.
No one talking about the family trauma. Sitting at dinner with people that have completely different political views than you.
I wish Universal would get irreverent like that and just make a really dumb house like that. That's not really, like, not really actually horror related. It's just things that are naturally terrifying to us based on the culture.
That'd be too real. Too real. That's adulthood. Adulthood is real. Just a scary haunted house. Sometimes I wish that the scary, you know, myths that we were told as kids and that are so inculcated in Latino culture, that they were real, and that all the other things no one told me was going to be a problem in adulthood weren't real. Like taxes, you know, health insurance, anxiety. Like, I wish all that wasn't real, and then like, and I had to deal with La Llorona once in a while. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's interesting. There is this correlation of horror, of this like very spooky culture inherent in Latino culture. But then it's also like, I remember my grandma would be like, eso es horrendo, el demonio. Como que you can't wear masks. Like, the devil's going to come. Like, it's just so funny because it's like, yes, we're very horror centric, I think. But then also there's this fear and this like hyper religiousness of like, you know, you can't dress up. This is a pagan ritual. Like, the devil's going to come. Like, you know, my mom would always be like, ay, no sé, eso es muy feo. Como que the spooky part is really ugly, and you know, you don't know what's going to come up as a result. And I'm like, this mask was made in China and like a factory. Like, this isn't a mask that's going to somehow compel a demon to take over my body, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, dude, just holidays at this point are like a bad game of telephone. Like, everything is mishmashed at this point. There's like Christian elements, there's pagan elements, there's satanic elements, whatever. Like, people just making shit up at this point, you know? So I think it's just like a big old pot of random things. And there's always candy involved, at least, you know, that's cool. But I went to a Christian school. So for them, they had like a party in celebration where you would wear costumes. And of course, they had to be like PG or rated G costumes. But it was called like Spirit Night or something. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't let us read any books involving witchcraft. And they were on par with like, oh, yeah, it's a bad holiday worshiping Satan. And look, I'm fairly certain a bunch of people do worship Satan on Halloween and try to fucking do seances and play with Ouija boards. Of course. Of course. Am I doing that? No. I'm eating shit and giving kids candy and watching scary movies at home. And I also got married 4 years ago on Halloween. also celebrating my anniversary. So, like, whatever. But lately, like, I've been on a kick of watching a bunch of horror movies with my husband. So, like, we watched The Conjuring 1 and 2. We watched Annabelle, and we watched the entire series on Netflix called The House. I think it's called The House on Haunted Hill, or The Haunting of Hill House. Hold on.
Mm-hmm. I love that one.
Oh, that one is so good. Such a good cast, such good writing. Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey in terms of all the flashbacks and shit. But, and I don't know. I just, it makes me realize just how much I love this shit. Like, I don't like gore. I don't really care for slashers and gratuitous gore. Like, esa mierda, I'm like, whatever. So I don't, I don't watch those. But I love a good thriller, and I love supernatural shit. I love toda esta cosa that involve demons and ghosts.
I get it.
But it's also because I believe in it. It's also because I believe in it. So, and people are like, shouldn't that scare you more? Like, shouldn't that make you even more like terrified of watching those if you actually believe that these entities exist? And I'm like, sure, yeah, but I also believe that aliens exist, and so that's why I also watch alien sci-fis and whatever.
I love horror. I love it. I'm different than you. You know, I'm not convinced about, you know, life after death. I don't really believe in any god. I'm not atheist per se, because I'm not like, I know this is, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't really believe in it, even though I sometimes believe in ghosts and ghosts only. But I love watching horror because I'm a very anxious person in real life. And my husband is always like, why would you like to sit through horror? Like, that feels like an antithesis of what you'd want to do. Like, that's anxiety inducing. And I'm like, no, because I feel like when everyone's watching a horror movie, that's how I feel in regular life with minor inconveniences. And here I am watching this like high stakes thing. And it's like, I'm feeling anxiety for fun. That's like, it's like a ride, you know?
Yo, that's exactly like, I go through these phases where I'm just like, I don't feel like watching comedy. Blech.
Yeah.
Like, I wanna watch like murder mysteries. And like, I just watched an entire documentary on Netflix about aliens, and it was a very good documentary. And now I'm on this horror kick with a supernatural horror kick with my husband. And it's funny because like my dad, for example, my dad is one of the most stressed out people on planet Earth, which apple meat tree, right? And so, but my dad only watches horror or like action thrillers.
Interesting.
And he's like, it's rare when you catch him watching a comedy or something lighthearted, but he watches the worst horror. Like, he'll watch like the grossest. I don't know how the man can stomach it, but you know. And then my mom loves horror too. In fact, tonight we're all going to, it's a whole group of us, and we're going to Knott's Scary Farm, which is another like haunted experience.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, oh, is your mom going to be fine? Because my mom just flew in yesterday from Miami. And is your mom going to be fine going to I'm like, bitch, my mom loves horror. I remember watching Freddy Krueger and Chucky when I was like 4 or 5.
Oh my God, that's insane.
And I remember when I told my mom, like, you'll be fine, right? Like, you'll, you know, people jump scare you in haunted houses and shit. And she's like, oh my God, yeah. Like, in Miami once, like, at the zoo, they had, like, this whole haunted experience. And then they had this guy, like, chopping his own leg off. And they used, like, real animal meat. And she was talking about it. Like, it was so cool.
I'm obsessed with your mom. Can't even imagine. She's like, oh, I don't even, I want to see the real blood and the real meat.
Joanna, we have to have a lunch. We have to have a lunch with my mom, like how we had lunch with your mom.
Oh my God, I would love to.
She would love to meet you.
I love meeting people's parents because it's like seeing the prequel. It's like, oh, now I have much more context for this friend. Like, this is the prequel. Some of the times prequels are good. Some of them they're bad. I'm sure your mom is wonderful. Sometimes I'm at the prequel and I'm like, oh, wow. Okay.
That shit's so fucking funny. I mean, you're exactly like your mom in the best of ways. So I was like, ah, yes, the prequel.
Oh my God,
I see how Joanna ended up so neurotic and funny.
Oh my God, my mom's stressing. I'm like, ay, no, pero no nos vamos a sentar y a que hora nos vamos. Ay, and then she sits down, she has one drink, and she's like, oh my God, I love you guys.
Yeah, because she seemed a little more uptight in the very beginning, like just like not loose yet. And then by the time we were all sitting, she was like giving me besitos on the head. Like,
she's obsessed with giving besitos on the head. It's so weird. It's like she's a priest or something. Like, bro, you don't need a bendecida la gente. You can just like sit there. Fucking what? Anyway.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
My mom had a paranormal experience because she's not religious, but she does believe in some entity. And I remember when I was a kid, she told me the story of how she stayed in a hotel in Los Llanos de Venezuela, like in like some rural part of Venezuela, and that she was sleeping on the bed. And then when she woke up, there was literally like a demon looking type of creature at the corner. And he like ran up to her and like would restrain her. I think it was sleep paralysis, but whatever. And then she ran down to the lobby and the guy that worked at the hotel was like, oh, did you see the guy in the room? He scares people all the time. And ever since then, my mom's been like, you know, I know what I saw that day, and I know it was real. And I never believed it. I never believed her. I thought she was full of shit. I thought it was sleep paralysis. I kind of still do. But then I had a paranormal experience at the Biltmore Hotel in Miami that completely and utterly changed my life. But before I tell you, I want to hear what paranormal experiences you've had. Because you believe in this stuff. And so, like, I want to know what stories you've heard that you're like, oh my God, there's no explanation.
So for me, it's mainly like secondhand through my grandma and my second cousin, my grandma's niece, where they have my second cousin, she sees them.
Oh my God.
She'll actually see them. And it's funny that you mentioned Biltmore because I did my quinceañera photos there, as one does. And I was with her. She helped me that day with my mom. And she was fucking with me the whole goddamn day. She's like, oh, we were like in an elevator. She's like, oh, no, hold on. You got to let them pass first.
No. Wait, was she joking or was she like being serious?
She was being serious, but then she was like laughing about it because she doesn't give a fuck. And so, oh my God. And then my abuela, she experienced more like they would fuck with her, but she couldn't actually see them. My mom agrees that they did live in a haunted house in Westchester. It was like a small house. It was the one before the one they actually bought. And my mom does not ever have any kind of depression. She said it was the only time she felt depressed when she lived in that house, and she wasn't herself. And my grandma said that there were moments where she would lay in bed and like they would blow in her face and like move the bed. And she was so terrified that she would just be like this with her eyes shut because she was afraid of what she might see if she opened her eyes. And keep in mind, my mom at the time didn't know my grandma was experiencing that. So it's interesting how like it wasn't until later my grandma opened up about it. And then my mom was like, oh my God, like I was going through a lot from an energy point of view of not feeling like myself. I think... So I talked to a friend who, she's a social media content creator, Stephanie Strange, Latina. She's amazing. And she's a medium and she loves all things supernatural. She goes to a lot of haunted houses. She senses things. Like for her, lately they're called a sensitive. Like you're basically a sensitive. When I told her about myself, she thinks that I am a sensitive in terms of dreams. So I have predicted things in dreams. I've predicted like natural disasters and like weird stuff like that. So she's like, I think you're more of like a premonition type person. And you're sensitive to energies. So you, that's like, that is a form of having a sixth sense. Everyone thinks, oh, you have to see them in order to have a sixth sense. But no, like you can hear or feel the energy shifting in a room or dreams. So there's a variety of ways to like feel things that are not super, I guess, that can be explained scientifically.
That's honestly so terrifying. I mean, not terrifying. You saying this, I started to get terrified because I'm like, if my dreams can tell the future, I'm so fucked. Because I have nightmares like pretty much every night, and all of them involve my friends like not talking to me anymore.
No, that, I mean, look, that could be predictive because look what happened. You did end friendships, right? Like we talked about that in the last episode. So a lot of times it's just your subconscious mind making sense of things that you consciously aren't making sense of, but like your subconscious mind is putting pieces together and making like, well, you're probably gonna like cut some ties, but sometimes you do have like an outlandish dream and you're like, what the fuck was this? It has nothing to do with my current life. But I think for me personally, the most supernatural thing that's ever happened to me was actually when I was a kid, where in my crib, I would see the shadow of a man with a hat. And I still remember that vividly. And apparently, it's actually a worldwide phenomenon.
What?
Yeah, it's...
What? Yes. Are you... I'm not joking. I feel like you're lying to scare me.
I'm not lying.
And to make me... I'm scared. Talking about? It's a worldwide phenomenon.
I'm going to send you the link. I didn't know this because I was literally 3 years old in a crib. And I just remember calling my parents to like pick me up from my crib because I would see at night this shadow of a man with a hat like this. It wasn't until recently that I was on TikTok and people are talking about this cultural phenomenon called the Hat Man. And it is universally experienced by people. It literally says on this monster wiki, Hat Man is a phenomenon in which witnesses report seeing a shadow-like entity dressed in a trench coat and a hat, usually a fedora. And what's crazy is that that's exactly what the Hat Man that I saw as a kid wore. It was a fedora. It was like this.
Dude, is this guy like just like a creepy Santa Claus? He's like, I'm going to just go and... torture all children. That's what I want to do.
He's literally
with my
a
afterlife.
Shadow. He's literally a shadow, and it's crazy because that's exactly how he's described. He's a shadow. It wasn't like a man standing in my room. He was a shadow on the wall, and it's insane. And I know that kids and animals tend to be way more sensitive towards like energies and things that one can't see with the human eye. And that's why in so many horror movies you see that happening where like a dog is like, fuck this, I'm out of here, or like a kid.
Or children, or little girls.
Yeah. Well, it's always little girls, but like children in general usually see things. Because again, after I hit a certain age, I stopped seeing the Hat Man. So I think that's fucking weird.
I know that there's like a, so, okay, this reminded me a little bit about, you know how every culture has dragons in their texts and in their oral histories, like in Japan, in South America, in North America, in Europe, there's like dragons, even though these societies did not intermingle until later. They all independently created the myth of a dragon. So then people are like, maybe were dragons maybe like real? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like how? What is this phenomenon that everyone ideated, this like lizard with wings that breathe fire? How is this a universal myth?
Well, it's kind of like the phenomenon of the sleep paralysis demon, right? I used to think it was just me going fucking batshit crazy in my own brain. And then you look it up and it's been centuries that the sleep paralysis demon phenomenon has been discussed and at varying degrees. And it's very real and it's very scary. And I'm not sure if I talked about this on the podcast before, but one of the worst episodes that I ever had with the sleep paralysis demon was that I heard growling in my ear.
Oh,
and
my
it was
God.
Very, it was very demonic and it was very real. And then when you look it up, people are saying like, yeah, it is demonic. Like, But it's like, it's like ancient history type shit. Like, humans have been experiencing this like sleep paralysis demon phenomenon for a long time. So it's, to me, it's like similar to like aliens. Like, when I watched that documentary on Netflix, I was like, there has to be something here. When so many people are seeing something all around the world for centuries, there's got to be some explanation. So that's how I see it.
Yeah, I feel like I grew up in a household where my dad is very, very scientific. I remember when I was 6 years old, I was like, Papi, where do we go when we die? And he was like, the ground. There's nothing afterwards. like literally, I was traumatized. Traumatized. He says he never said that. And I think I said it in another episode because he was like, I never said that to you. And I'm like, you literally did. But anyway, so for me, I'm like, I sort of do and I sort of don't. Anytime it becomes like this something about like demonic or religious, I don't believe it. Like, that's why it's so hard for me to get into The Exorcist.
No, I get it.
Like, I don't get. But then I'm like, but there's Daniel, my husband, makes fun of me because I'm like, I don't believe in anything, and yet I'm scared of ghosts. Do you know? I'm like, there's no such thing as the afterlife, but I was haunted. I was visited by a ghost in the Biltmore Hotel in Miami.
Okay, but tell me, what the fuck happened?
Okay, bro. And I told this story on NPR, on Radio Ambulante, the Spanish language show on NPR. So if anyone wants to hear it in Spanish with like fucking crazy editing that makes it creepier, please go ahead.
fuck yeah.
So I like check into the hotel and it's like this beautiful, gorgeous, very historic looking hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving and you've been there. It looks like this like castle in the forest. It just looks like something from the past. And I remember being in the lobby and I didn't feel great in the lobby. There was just something that made me feel weird. And then I went up to my floor and I was walking down the hallway and there were all these black and white pictures of people that had stayed there in the past. And I check in and I remember looking out the window and I'm like anxious. I don't feel good in the room. So I go to the gym, I start working out, and then I get an enormous rash all over my body in the gym. And I'm like, okay, that's fucking weird. So I think there was like a little gift shop. I don't remember exactly how I got Benadryl. I got Benadryl because I was like, this must be an allergic reaction. And I'm like, I'm going to pop a couple of these and I'm going to go to bed because they're going to pick me up at 4 a.m. for my shoot. I was shooting a commercial there. So I go to bed. Bro, at like maybe 1 a.m, the TV in front of my bed is on and at like full volume. And I remember it was 2016 because it was a Trump commercial. So it was like double frightening. It was like, you better vote for Donald Trump. Like, it was just horrible. I'm like, I really am in Florida.
I was like,
oh, that was weird. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to turn it off and go back to sleep. Dude, the TV turns back on.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe I should just keep the TV on. No, I'm gonna turn it off. Maybe I rolled over the remote. I go back to sleep. So the room was kind of like a suite. And I start trying to go to sleep, and then where the living room is, like where the couch is, not where the bed is, I hear voices. Like, okay? And I'm like, I get up from my bed, I turn on all the lights. My chest is like, I am so scared. And I look and I turn and the TV in the living room is now on. And I'm like, no, I'm out of this. I'm absolutely out of this. So I like jump in the shower and the bathroom was this like long pink reddish tiled room. It looked like a birth canal or something, or hell. I don't know which of the two. And I was like, I had to wash my hair. So, you know, you have to close your eyes when you wash your hair. I was like, not wanting to close my eyes, but I got to a point where I had to close my eyes. And then I hear like, and I look over and it's the fucking hairdryer connected. That is like, you know, the hairdryers that are on the wall. There's like, no, I don't understand how it was making that noise. And it was just turning on and off. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm out. And then I put on my towel, whatever. I'm like, I'm so scared. I can't do this. I go downstairs. The driver comes to pick me up. And he's like, how did you sleep? And I was like, not well. This is sort of embarrassing, but like, I felt like there was someone in my room. So silly. And he's like, oh no, that's not silly at all. The Biltmore is one of the most haunted hotels in America. Every time I pick someone up here, they have some weird shit to tell me. And I'm like, why didn't you not tell me when you dropped me off yesterday? And he's like,
Do you know the history?
So I want you to tell it to me because I don't know that, like, all the details. I know that once when I did this interview for NPR, they interviewed people that worked at the hotel and or had worked at the hotel in the past and were like, bro, I had to leave. Like, it was 100% haunted. But I went in there not knowing anything. I didn't know anything about any haunting, about any history, but please tell us the history of the Biltmore Hotel.
So it's old. It is old as fuck. It was born. I'm already being creepy about it. It was born. It was built in 1926. There's two reasons why this is likely haunted. One of them is related to a gangster. And of course, it happened on the 13th floor because a lot of hotels, out of superstition, do not have a 13th floor. I don't know if Biltmore has skipped the 13th floor or if it's still there, but they did at the time. And it was a gangster named Thomas Fatty Walsh, and he was shot
and
killed.
Didn't he like own that floor? Didn't the mafia sort of function out of this hotel?
Probably. It was Miami in the 20s. I mean, like, he got shot and killed by another gangster. But then, so that's like the one incident, right? Like the first one. But then when World War II occurred, it became a hospital for veterans.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you know where the morgue was? The gym where I got a rash.
Oh, cute.
That was where the morgue was, Jenny. Of this hospital.
Super cute.
Super cute. Like, oh my God, you know where I want to work out? Where dead bodies were, like, kept. Bro, no.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Okay, we have that whole gangster situation, and then this happens where a bunch of people died because it was a World War II veteran hospital, and then that closed in the late 60s. And then it was, like, apparently abandoned for a while. Like, a bunch of neighborhood kids, like, people would sneak in. It was like, I can't even imagine that at this point because, again, the Biltmore that I've known is, like, this fancy hotel where people go and take their quinceañera photos. So it's wild. But I do remember even back then someone telling me, maybe it was my second cousin who sees ghosts, but she was like, oh yeah, this was like, I think there's a plaque, if I'm not mistaken. Because I remember seeing a plaque and it being pointed out to me and them saying, oh yeah, like this was a veteran hospital. So many stories of hauntings and weird haunted activity. And the stuff that you dealt with is just so, I find it funny at the same time because I'm like, bro, these ghosts or these entities, like, they're always trolling people by doing the same shit, like turning TVs on and off and like, like interfering with your signal and opening doors. I'm just like, okay, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It is a very,
like,
very,
that's how
very,
they choose to haunt.
Yes. They're
like, I'm just, this girl seems stressed out. Let's just like fuck with her. But I think what I felt was an energy. Like, I felt like this place felt heavy.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not a place with like happy memories. This is a place with like a lot of bad juju. And, you know, my dad was like, well, maybe there was like an electrical wiring issue. And I'm like, sure, but that doesn't explain what I felt. Like, here I am, an atheist, like absolutely terrified of lights flickering on and off. Like, what the actual fuck? Like, what? So that experience for me made me respect, you know, this all the spooky and the paranormal. Like, I don't know how much I believe in it, but I know that I don't understand and know enough for me to say that it's real or not real, because what I felt was very, very real. I was terrified, and I just felt like someone was in the room. To the point that, like, you know, they mic'd me for this commercial. They put on a mic on me, and I forgot about the mic. And like como que everyone at the marketing agency was there, and the client was there, and I was talking to my co-star, and she's like, oh, you know, so how are you? And I'm like, I didn't sleep anything. They're making me stay at a haunted hotel. I don't know why they would do that. But, and then someone from the marketing team came running, and they were like, shut the fuck up. Everyone can hear you. You're mic'd. We're going to switch your hotel, okay? Just shut up. And I had to, and then that day I had to go back to the hotel and get my bags, and I was so scared. I had my mom on speaker because I couldn't go into the room, Jenny. I was so scared.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know what to tell you, bro, but I think you got haunted.
Haunted?
You got haunted. Well, I'm looking at this other website called hauntedrooms.com, and it's talking about the Biltmore. And you may have been trolled by Fatty Walsh, the mobster, because apparently he's the one who trolls the most. Apparently, so he's said to open doors for waitresses who are carrying trays in and out of the restaurant. He writes messages on mirrors, steals lampshades, turns off lights, and plays with guests on the elevator. He's reported to send guests to floors they didn't want to go to.
Stop.
Yeah, and the elevators have been checked on numerous occasions and never have been at fault.
It was Fatty.
It was Fatty. Fatty was
this whole time
shit.
I thought it was this, like, you know, like, it's just a dude. He's just some dude. Dude.
Yeah.
Fatty.
I mean, there's other spirits, but that this is what people report the most. Like, people have also seen a woman in white in their rooms, and they said she's like the ghost of a woman who apparently jumped out of the tower.
Yeah, there's been a lot of deaths in that hotel. Well, there's a lot of deaths in every hotel.
Yeah, I mean, the Cecil here in LA. Have you heard of that one? Because that one's
insane.
Oh my
God, I'm obsessed with the Cecil Hotel. I'm obsessed
with it. Is that how you say it? Cecil, Cecil, whatever.
Cecil. Cecile, I don't know.
Cecile.
That is my friend stayed there. My friend Andrea, she listens to the podcast. Holla at Andrea. She stayed at the Cecil Hotel the Cecil Hotel is again, like, for people that don't know, one of the most historically haunted hotels, because there's been like famous serial killers stayed there. It was like a transient hotel. It was a cheap hotel for people that were coming to LA in the turn of the century. There was a lot of crime, a lot of death, a lot of murder, a lot of rape, a lot of horrible shit. And then it was sort of like revamped as like a part of it was revamped for backpackers. But then there was a horrible case of a woman who disappeared at the hotel and then was found in the water tank in like the 2000s. And people don't know how she ended up in the water tank. And some people say it's the ghost. Some people say it was mental illness. Some people say it's both. But anyway, my friend stayed at this freaking hotel and she had no idea of any of this. And she was like, we need to leave. Like, I am feeling unsafe here. And it's kind of crazy how I love a hotel, but hotels see so many people and carry so much energy from everyone that goes there. And like, deaths happen in hotel all the time. Like, crime happens in a hotel all the time. And we don't see it, right? But like, those are buildings that carry a lot of history.
Yeah. It's heavy and you can feel that energy. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. Did you just send me a picture of the ghost that was haunting me? Is this Fatty? Yes. What is this? What's his
name? Thomas Fatty Walsh.
This is Thomas Fatty Walsh. This guy looks like he sells insurance in New Jersey. He looks like a big baby. How was I so scared of this man? You know, putting a face to the ghost. Helps.
Apparently, he was a New York wise guy. He was killed during a gambling dispute in his room. They say why his room? Because the narcotics chief. paid the hotel staff so they would look the other way on his speakeasy casino situation. So he was known for a couple things. His girth. Oh, no. Joanna says his love of long-legged dames.
Oh, my God.
Joanna!
This was this man flirting with me?
His need to clock people in the gut when they looked funny, looked at him funny, and his involvement in various gangland shootings. And he would throw, like, wild parties. It was, like, the Gatsby era.
Bro, I...
Yeah. He loved long-legged gals.
That's me. I'm 5'9", baby.
And apparently he fucked with Bill Clinton at the Biltmore. It said that Bill Clinton apparently stated that Fatty didn't allow him to watch football on his television when he stayed at the Biltmore.
Dude, I love this ghost. I'm sorry. I know he's probably had like a lot of crime in his, but like, I just love a guy who's like, I still own this place. Like I've been dead for like a century and I'm fucking still, I still own this place, man.
Yeah. I think that's just his attitude. He doesn't give a fuck that he's dead. He's like, it's still my place. Fuck everyone. I'm just going to eat shit and still flirt with the long-legged gals like Joanna.
Well, I think he needs to work on his flirting game because he absolutely terrified me and I left. If he had been more sweet and kind, like maybe I would have stayed the three nights, but I left. He actually, his flirting game is off. His flirting game is off. Sorry, bro. Watch me go back there and see like, hey, man. Let's give this a second try.
Okay, I would
first
love...
First date was Joanna, bad.
What if we created a haunted series? So now it's you and I, and we're ghost chasers. And we just go all around Latino haunts.
Bro, I'm down. Like, because like, I'm like the one that doesn't believe
the skeptic,
it, but it's haunted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But isn't that kind of like fucking X-Files?
I guess it is X-Files. Let's just remake X-Files. X-Files.
Yeah, Scully. Scully was the skeptic.
Oh my God, that's me.
You're Scully.
I'm so Scully,
and I'm Mulder.
Yeah, dude, and I kind of look like Scully, you know. Dude, I love this.
Joanna, we need to go back to the Biltmore. We need to find Thomas Fatty Walsh, and when we need to like. Play card games or something.
Okay, I say we do this. I say on an episode of Hyphenated, we just get a hotel room on the 13th floor or the same hotel room.
People.
I'm going to try and get the same. And I want to go and like try and talk to this guy. Like, I swear to God, because it's like maybe it was all in my head, but I don't think it was. I think he did it. I think he was there and I think it was him.
Yo, all right. Well, people are going to get excited now and. Next October, we have to go back to the Biltmore. We should actually write the Biltmore because that shit's expensive. Be like, hey guys, if you give us
that's true
a free room
for a day,
we will promote you and whatever.
I think that's a great idea.
I'm not kidding though. I'm actually not kidding.
I think that's a great idea. We just have to go to Miami together.
Okay, well, we're gonna have a haunted Christmas special.
This is Jenny's dream. It's just like, this has just become a ghost podcast. Also, there's three ghosts. Jenny has pictures like behind her. And I just realized it's literally three little cute ghosts. And that's her living room.
No, there's more. I have like an insane collection of ghosts. You haven't even been to my house right now during Halloween season.
Oh my God, Jenny.
Hold on.
I think your passion is like comedy, Latino culture, and ghosts and dead people. Just absolute, just dead folks.
I'm taking you with me.
Okay, I feel like I'm in one of those shows where people are trying to find like the bad energy source. Oh, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that 8 in a corner? 8, 9. Pumpkin.
There's more down there.
Skull. That is maybe 4 feet of your apartment, and I see at least a dozen ghosts. Oh, another ghost just chilling on the dining room table. That is.
There's more ghosts than my mom's over here.
Hola. Oh my God, this is how I meet your mom?
My mom's just hanging.
This is how Jenny introduces me to her mom. She's showing me the ghosts in her house with her headphones on. And her mom's just like, what the fuck are you doing? That's me. I'm so glad that she now knows my face. Hola. Hey, how are you? Oh my God, what a cutie. Just happy Halloween. Guys, Jenny's home looks like she has an addiction to Halloween, and that I think we need to do a intervention. I think we need to intervene with the addiction to ghosts and all things spooky. Her entire wall, are you kidding me? There's a ghost throw pillow.
No, this is what Thomas Fatty Walsh looks like now.
Oh my God, Thomas Fatty Walsh now looks like a little throw pillow. See, they're kind of cute.
No, but Joanna, we should try to reach out to the Biltmore and figure this out.
I think we need to. I want to talk to Fatty Walsh. I want to ask him if, like,
are we going
to
get a Ouija board?
I'm like, do you like this ass? Like, is that what caused it? Because then that'll make me feel better.
He ain't going to hit on me because I'm a short-legged dame.
Exactly.
So I'm safe. I'm safe.
Long-legged dames. Hey. All right, guys. Enjoy your spooky times. Jenny and I are going to keep talking about the ghost that's in love with me and try and solve and figure this out. I don't know how or when, great, but I think we have to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yo, I think he was hitting on me. I think that was what was happening.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well, then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.